We thank you for giving us all that we need to get through each and every week so as to bring us into Sabbath with peace in our hearts and prayers answered all throughout the week. Thank you for the way you care for us, Father. As a true father, a father that loves his children. Even when the bad trials come, you still have that hedge about us and peace within our hearts. Please bless everyone that's on our prayer list. Please bless all of them with answered prayers, including those that are placing prayer requests in the room and during the children's study. We had many then. And please help us to keep this audio going. I just noticed the mic fell off. Okay, I'm going to have to leave the room and come back in. So, for those of you who are listening, thank you for continuing to pray and for blessing us with all that we need to grow in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, can you hear me in the room now? Because the mic fell out. And can you hear me on the stream? The stream was really, really low for some reason. Did you guys hear the prayer on the stream? I'm going to have to tag this where we're at here. Hold on. Yes, you heard the prayer. Okay. See, this is the... All right, I'm going to do this. Right when I see this... Oops, that's the notes for the study. No. Right when I see that, we're going to have to erase everything before this. And I'm sorry, the children's study is going to have to... I just found out that we've been playing music from other areas, and YouTube has been giving me copyright claims, not strikes, but claims, and I thought we only had SDR music. We have a lot of beautiful SDR music, and we do play a lot of music in here before we stream and after and stuff like that, which is fine, perfectly acceptable, but YouTube has their goofy little rules, even though we don't sell anything, and you know, they just want to be able to sell stuff on here. And so they'll make a copyright claim or a strike so that they can put a commercial on our, you know, like those ads and stuff. And it's no one's fault. I guess there was just a miscommunication. But during streams on Sabbath day, absolutely unequivocally, only Seventh-day Remnant original music. And we have plenty of it. And so, but yeah, this is... Plus the children's story when it got to the, the volume was way too low. It was just, you know, with the Ten Commandments and all that, it was extremely, I mean, in the beginning it was really loud, but then all of a sudden you guys dropped off really bad, so I don't know what's going on there. But, and again, no one's fault. It's just technical things, but praise the Lord that we were able to actually gather today. I mean, we had some... All day yesterday, 10 straight hours, at least 10 straight hours, I was trying everything to get the chat room back and the blog back. We had a major database crash. So, yeah, I know, Dwayne. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's nobody's fault. Nobody's fault at all, because we all thought that the music that was being handed all around was all SDR. Or at least I thought. And but, yeah, during the stream, please, please, please. Because, I mean, it doesn't cause us any real major issues. It's just that they put these commercials on there, and it could be anything from legal marijuana to alcohol to all sorts of sinful things. And I, you know, when they start attacking and saying that we have a claim or a copyright strike, I just say, okay, I'll just delete the song. But then there's a gap. There's a big 3-minute empty spot. People think, oh, well, I guess the service is over, and they leave. So I have to delete everything prior to it. And because using the YouTube, you know, editor, oh, is it a joke? Because I only got 10 meg up and down. And so it just keeps, you know, freezing up over and over and over and over. And then it takes them 1, 2, sometimes 3 or 4 hours before they even give you the option to edit. So, again. But, yeah, please keep it in prayer. If somebody could please make a compilation of just SDR music and hand that out to everybody so that whenever we're doing a stream, it's absolute just SDR music because there was some kind of miscommunication. No big deal. So just wanted to make a public announcement in that respect because I know there's a lot of you in here that like to share the music. It's not just Brother Dwayne. It's, you know, Eli, Joe does it. Alex does it. We got a lot of guys in here that share the music, so let's just be careful. Okay, so we're, and again, it's nobody's fault, so I'm not mad at anybody. No one's in trouble. Please. It was just an innocent, perfectly innocent mistake. And the music that was playing, it could be free royalty, or royalty free, rather. I don't know that. That's why it's safe just to say, okay, we got plenty of SDR music. We'll just go with that. Because there is royalty-free music out there, but it's usually Sunday Keeper music, and there's drums and stuff like that. Praise God, most of the brethren here have found music that's beautiful to listen to, like after church and stuff. Like when we're not streaming, some of the music you guys put in here is just amazing to listen to. And it doesn't matter if it's royalty-free, because we're only doing it privately on our own stream. We're not on a YouTube stream when we do that stuff. So, but I want to welcome everybody here in the room, everybody on the radio, everybody on the phone, and everybody on the stream. And so last Sabbath, we looked into the oil that was in the lamps of the golden candlestick in the holy place. And this Sabbath, let's start with looking at who it is that was allowed to light the lamps. And so it says in Numbers 8, verses 1 to 3, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses." And since we know that, thank you, Brother Sean and Dwayne and Warren and whoever else is moderating, and thank you for helping out. I'm putting the verses and all that stuff in the room. But anyway, since we know that Aaron is the high priest, which is a type unto our Lord Jesus, our Savior, our King, our high priest, Jesus Christ, it's that same Jesus that's being represented here as our eternal high priest who will light our lamps before we can shine for him. And then we shine before those he sends our way as obedient Christians. And it is fitting, seeing how the central shaft of the candlestick, which we discussed earlier, and it sends all the oil to the branches of the lamp, and that oil flows without measure. That central shaft is a symbol unto the measure of the fullness of Christ, as Ephesians 4:13 declared long ago in a previous study we were doing. So as the foolish virgins who ignore their daily duty of Bible study and prayer in our present day, and there's a lot of them, And I'm not talking about Protestants, because in this aspect, it's people that, or Catholics, it's people that are obedient. But at the same time, well, they're in an obedient gathering, if you will. Doesn't necessarily have to be structured, especially in the last days, as I showed in a couple of videos ago, that the remnant church will not be organized other than to be organized under Jesus Christ. We'll be just like it was 2,000 years ago. We'll be meeting in homes. We won't have a president. We won't have a pope and stuff like that. We are all guided by Jesus Christ. And it's amazing how when we meet each other, even if we're tens of thousands of miles apart, because we have people other side of the world, okay, they're in every nation now. And some are lying and saying they're not because, oh, I don't know anybody out here in Africa. Well, you know, Africa's a big country, so it's not like they're all going to be right, your next-door neighbor. But, you know, it's just, you know, the way some people respond to the truth. But the thing is, we have, you know, I'm not going to get into the parable of the 10 virgins, but we all know what that means and how five of them, half of them, we're not doing their daily Bible study, and they're not doing their prayer. And so it's to be expected they're not going to see the things we're going to see. And so And they're about to discover that if there is not enough oil in their lamps, they're going to go out. And that's why I keep the SDAs in prayer, because their lamps are about to go out. I mean, probation's already closed on the Seventh-day Adventist Church corporate, not on the people, but on the church itself. I got a page on the website all about that, because we didn't know the exact date or anything like that, but like that last video I posted about them changing this, their statement of faith, it was overwhelmingly obvious in the 1980s, but their probation closed because they're no longer following Christ, and so... But they kicked them out in 1888. And some people will say, well, how come certain people, it's just like Sister White, didn't leave during 1888? Well, the same reason Jeremiah didn't leave the city when he was warning the people. They had a job to do. So, but when their lamps go out, when they finally go out, when that happens, they cannot hope to stay on or even see the path that's set before them. Because without the Holy Spirit within them, they cannot see the path Jesus needs them to tread. And so again, daily Bible study and prayer is a must. Now, let's look at the lighting of the incense, because this is very, very important. Exodus 30, verses 7 and 8 says that Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresseth the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it, and when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it as perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. And so, just as the lamps were dressed to assure they were lit morning and evening, depicting our need for, you know, morning and evening Bible study, we see Aaron the high priest came each morning to make sure the incense was lit as well. And as we learned earlier, the incense represents the prayers of the saints, which, by the way, further confirms the lies of Rome, who claim you must be dead to be a saint, even though the Bible says quite a bit about what happens when you die. And I'm going to share just three of dozens of verses that declare this. Psalm 115:17 says, "The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence." And notice how when I said silence, the dog started barking. And so there's nobody here. I'm looking out the camera here. I don't see anybody here. So I don't know. She does that every now and then. And then Psalm 146, verse 4. "His breath goeth forth." Oh, and by the way, if I fall out or my mic turns off, Fran's going to have to be, well, even Fran couldn't tell me, like, because we might stay on. I changed one setting on the server last night. Hopefully it'll stop this issue, because it's a brand new server, so I'm trying to tweak it. Don't text me. Text Fran, because my phone is right now doing the broadcast for the teleconference, and so I'll never get your text. And don't email me, because I'm not checking my email as I teach. And so, anyway, Psalm 146:4 says, "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish." And so how can people say, there's one more verse here, by the way, that I'm going to share. This is Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5 and 6. But how can they say that when you die, you go straight to heaven? Or you're out there strumming a harp, you know, on some cloud or something like that. Rome had to push that lie so as to get people to believe in ghosts. So that when their dead grandmother is sitting at the end of their bed one night, where it looks like her, same clothing, smells like her, same perfume, same speech, like if she had an accent or even a speech impediment, everything's the exact same, same character, same attitude if she was a mean one, you know, everything's going to be the exact same, right? But it's a demon acting like grandma, all right? But if you understand what the Bible says about what happens when you die and you stay in the grave until the eastern sky splits, with the exception of, like the Bible, I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23, I think, or verse 23. I can't remember exactly where it's at, but there it says every man in his own order. And because we got Enoch, Elijah, Moses, the 24 elders that are already in heaven now, because the Bible says so. But everybody else, they're waiting. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, is in the grave, just like King David. And Paul, I think it was Peter, could have been Peter or Paul, because I get those two guys mixed up, had to reiterate this in the early church because they all thought King David was already in heaven. But he says, no, his sepulchre is on with us on to this day, literally in the book of Acts. So anyway, so the prayers of the obviously living saints, thank you, Sean. It was 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, like I thought. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. And then Acts chapter 2, verse 34 says, for David is not ascended into the heavens. Yeah. And so that's Peter. Okay, by the way. Well, there's one that about the sepulchre, but yeah, that doesn't matter. That right there says it. That's after the cross of Christ. That's Acts chapter 2. That's the early church starting. That's the Apostle Peter preaching. So David's not in heaven yet. He'll be there. We know he's going to be there. Out of his own lineage came Christ the Lord. We know Ruth's going to be there too. A Moabitess, a priestess, who accepted Christ as Savior. And out of her bloodline came Christ the Lord. And so she's going to be there. Anyway, and so again, the prayers of the obviously living saints is what the incense represents here. And like the morning and the evening Bible study, we see prayer was to be done at least twice a day as well. And I say at least because all of us know about how the patriarchs and prophets of old always prayed in the morning, the midday, and then the evening prayer unto the Lord. Hence the reason Daniel became such an easy target unto those wicked governors and the princes and the captains in his day who knew Daniel was going to kneel down before the Lord at the midday prayer. He did it every day. And so that's why they passed that law and made the king think that he was privy to it when he wasn't. And by the way, this incense not only took away the stench of the rotting blood that was all over the veil from those sacrifices, it showed the acceptance of the prayers of the saints by our God. The burning of the incense and the care of the lamps were very closely connected. And so as we kneel at the altar of prayer, our heavenly high priest, who sees us in his word, and then, you know, like when we're reading it, and then on our knees, he makes sure our lamps are well trimmed with an ample supply of the Holy Spirit, just like we see Aaron walking in there, making sure that lamp is well trimmed in the morning and the evening. The Lord's not going to let us down. He said he's going to be with us always, even to the end. And if you notice, in the New Bibles, it says to the end of the age. But the King James says to the end of the world. Why? Well, because the end of the age means there are going to be 1,000 years of peace on earth, and Jesus Christ is going to reign on earth for 1,000 years. No, that doesn't happen. He doesn't even touch the planet at the second coming. We rise up, if we're part of the Gideon band, after the dead in Christ rise. He never even touches the earth. But they have to change it to the end of the age because they're preaching 1,000 years of peace, just like they did 2,000 years ago via the Pharisees. It's the same lie. It's just, you know, the only reason the devil used it twice is because it works. They actually believe when Messiah comes, he's going to, you know, end war on earth and make peace on earth for 1,000 years. Yeah, there's going to be peace on earth for 1,000 years, but that's only because there's dead bodies all over the planet. There ain't nobody starting any wars. And so, as I like to do often in my prayers, when it comes to like morning, midday, and evening, I like to echo that which was penned in Revelation 4, verse 11. You can pick any verse you want, but this happens to be the one that I like to use before I start my prayer. It's, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And so, just as the candlestick was to represent the light from our Lord, it is also to represent the light of the people of God that go forth as his church to proclaim present truth unto all that have ears to hear it. You remember when Jesus exposed the Pharisees as whitewashed tombs? He said in Matthew 23, verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, which is a tomb, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within, full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. They no doubt had a false light that did nothing for the truth the Lord sought to present to the world through his obedient children. This is why Aaron's sons died by fire. You know, the Lord, he burned them alive when they offered strange fire in the temple that day so long ago. You know, it's like it's also called his strange act, because it's just a reiteration of what Aaron's sons did. When you think about the strange act he's going to do at the end of the 1,000 years, he's going to burn them all up. with fire. You know, and then we walk on the ashes of the dead. They literally become, fertilizer, if you will, for the planet. So those Pharisees are also going to die by the fire of the Lord at the end of the 1,000 years. Because of all the strange fire that they kept on offering unto the people of God, commanded them because God commanded them to preach and teach truth. Just like all these Sunday keepers, just like all these Seventh-day Adventists, and even the ones that stepped out with either the 501c, 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, there's 28 different 501c's. Okay? I think there's only two that are tax-deductible. But I'm going to put a link somewhere on the site about this, because there's 28 different 501c, 3, 4, 5, and stuff like that. But there's five popular ones. And most of these that have left the Seventh-day Adventist Church have a 501c3, just like all the SDA pastors do, but some also have a 501c4, I think it is. A 1 or a 4, I can't remember exactly which one it is. It's probably 4. But yeah, so they're out there preaching all this strange fire. That's all they're doing. They're giving false light. And so they're going to get what they want. They're going to get what they've clamored after. They're going to burn, just like, they've been wanting everybody around on the burn. So, I mean, all too often we hear of blessed teachers and preachers who, like the Pharisees of old, are only preaching scripted sermons so as to make merchandise of the people in the church. And that is why Sunday laws will come upon all the world rather swiftly one day. Yeah, and these, and literally scripted. You can go online, and I couldn't believe I found this, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, and now I'm sure there's a lot more sites out there, but somebody told me about this. Oh, that can't be true. You can buy sermons, but that's because, or you can just download them if you want. And they're all Sunday keepers, obviously, but it's unbelievable. And the sermons are designed to make people dig in their pockets. It's all prosperity messages. It's ridiculous what's going on out there. The light of truth that we present causes the people to see the strange fire of the wolves. They call pastors on the pulpits, and therefore the people of God react accordingly, like Revelation 18 says they're going to do. He calls them my people for a reason. And since their pastors are preachers of filthy lucre, or money, as we call it today, our message empties their pews, and that hits home to them because they worship money, and so they use their church and state powers granted them under the 501c3 or 4 contract or whatever it is. And that contract is with the second beast of Revelation. Well, in America, for that matter. I mean, there's a T1-something-14 or like that for Canada. Every nation now has a 501c3, but they call it different things. They're all doing the church and state thing is what they're doing. And so, when the loud cry gets really, really loud, that's when they decide to go forth and push Sunday laws to try to shut us up. But the SDA preachers like Doug Batchelor and a bunch, and that forerunner guy is out there telling us, oh, no, Sunday laws come first, then the loud cry. No. It's maybe they're hanging their hat on the blue laws of 1961, I think it was, when Kennedy put that in there, but that's not the same thing. Although it is a harbinger to it, it's not the same thing. The fact is, when the people leave the pews because of the message we proclaim, it's going to anger those pastors because they're in it for the money. They go to seminary. And that's another thing about the SDR people. None of us have gone to any seminaries or Bible colleges or whatever you want to call them, cemeteries, as I used to call them as a kid. You went to a cemetery? But so they're going to get upset, and they're going to use that 501. Because now, as of, what was it, December 2nd or 7th of 2016 or 17, Trump made it permanent law. It's no longer an executive order. It is now permanent U.S. law that all pastors are considered government agents. That's how Bush described them in 2006 on March 7th, when he put forth the executive order that allowed them to speak politically from their pulpits and lobby religious law. Well, now, and everybody's saying, oh, that's just an executive order. It can go away at the next president, which is true. Trump stopped that. Now it's permanent. It's law. It's no longer an executive order. It's law. But notice how Paul described those that claim to be godly in our day. He said in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. And then he finishes with verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. But if you notice, even on YouTube, if you go and you look at some of the streams that are out there, you'll see 400, 500, 600 people listen to these 501c3, 124, whatever preachers. The remnant people, well, we're flying under the radar, praise God. So as you hear their sermons, and they have done this in the SDA Church, that's why 3ABN approached me and asked me to pull the video years ago when I put that one up about Dwight Nelson. And they didn't say nothing about John Carter when I put that video for some reason, because he did it from 3ABN as well, from what I understand. But, you know, people are packed in places like Loma Linda and all this other stuff. There, you get somebody in there like Dwight Nelson that says Allah is God, and it doesn't. They stay in the pew. And he says this on Christmas with these Christmas trees behind him, with all the baubles and stuff that you see the pagans do. When it's clear in the spirit of prophecy, if you're going to celebrate Christmas, you bring in a live tree and make it as unlike the world as possible. But those trees look just like Roman Catholic trees. And the vulgarity of it all, if you ever did the research, I've got it on the website. It's just vulgar. I'm not going to talk about it now because there's kids in the room. And so, but they say Allah is God. Homosexuality is no longer an abomination on camera in the SDA Church. Consuming alcohol and unclean foods that defile and sicken the body, as well as, you know, they actually say the health message is quackery. I got that actual article on SDAapostasy.org. As well as, and they preach everything from the Trinity to changing the prophetic definitions to agree with Vatican lies so as to make their sermons come off as prophesied truths when they are nothing more than puffing up a Vatican agenda. And you can see that they're doing this like the Pharisees of old. They appear beautiful outward, but they're the same, wherein they're all full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. And so, and the reason Jesus said they were full of dead men's bones is because they're wicked sermons, traditions of men and doctrines of demons, preached the smooth things that the people craved because it fills the pockets of the pastor. Because they're always asking for money. That's another thing. Seventh-day Remnant, we've never asked for donations, never will. We pray. Lord takes it from there. That's a faith walk. That's when you trust Him. You learn how to trust Him that way. You've got no choice. But it's a good choice, you know, if you had one. So, but because we're in it for the truth. We're in it for the souls. We're not in it for the money. And so the people crave these smooth sermons, and in so doing, it causes all of them to go to Christless graves. And so it's fitting that Jesus declared they're full of dead men's bones, because they guided to graves, spiritual as well as physical graves. They sat in a church where they thought was real, and it's not. Amen, Brother Dwayne, amen. I mean, their God is their money. And so they have no choice but to present the strange fire, because nothing else works for them now. The Lord's not blessing their efforts, and so they got to have fight night or alcohol night or tattoo night. You wouldn't believe some of the things that these churches out there are doing. And that's all of them, not just the SDAs, but I haven't seen any SDAs doing fight night or SDA, but they do Halloween nights and Lent. I kid you not, the pagan festival, the 40-day festival, with the purple colors and everything. There's a video out there. There's a video. It's kind of, it looks satanic, actually, where they're having this Lent celebration. The Catholics do it, but the pagans started it. It's a 40-day thing, and at the end of it, they got the sex games and all this other stuff, like the what they now call spring break. Well, it was called differently. I can't remember the exact term, what it was back in the day when they did it back then. But it was just sexual games is all it was. And Lent led up to that, and then no eating the meat on the Fridays and stuff. But when you watch the video, they have like a purple hue all over. In other words, like, I think they got purple lights all up above where you can't see them in the camera. And the whole room, and it's got purple satin everywhere like the Catholics do. And it was dark. It was really hard to see what was going on. And that was a Seventh-day Adventist service. I says, what is going on here? I mean, the Lord does not send the faithful to their churches. And so they need to adopt that which Rome does to fill the pews. I mean, because they got the 501c3. They're rented for the money. And so they figure, well, no one's coming in here. We got to get them in here. I need some money. And so that's what they do. And this is why they're all doing the pagan holidays. And even somebody told me the other day, I couldn't believe this, and they're totally not Catholic. I mean, they're all doing it now with the making the sign of the cross, which is an upside-down cross. Make the sign of the cross on your – I did a video about this, in fact, and I showed the trace lines and everything. You touch your forehead, you touch the middle of your chest, and you go shoulder to shoulder. That's an upside-down cross. But they don't see it. It's so sad. But it's, you know, they do that because none of them have the desire to do the work and present God's truth door to door so as to be able to open the Sabbath-keeping churches. Instead, as Rome did long ago, they use the so-called Holy Day of the Pagan Witch to lure big numbers into their churches because that's where the majority were, with the excuse that once they're all there, we're going to reveal God's law to them. That's what the SDA Church did. That's the excuse they use now for the dozens and dozens and dozens now of Sunday-keeping Seventh-day Adventist churches. They say, oh, we're keeping it holy on Sunday so as to bring them in and then talk to them. How well's that been working out? They've been doing that for decades. They're still keeping Sunday. That's a bold-faced lie. It's like, here, smoke a joint, and I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. That doesn't work that way. Or here, have a beer, I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. It simply doesn't work that way. They have to show they worship Jesus, not the world. And they've been doing this for so long. And so their strange fire cannot be sanctified by God to move any of them with the utterance from on high, and that's going to cut any of the hearts of the people. And since the tithing is coming in, they continue on with the strange fire, feeling complacent, and at least they can claim to be holy so as to pay their bills. But in the aspect of eternity, that is most assuredly very short-lived. They're only going to be paying their bills for as long as the eastern sky splits. Well, yeah, because it's going to be like normal life. Totally unexpected. They have no clue what time it is. That's why Ted Wilson says, oh, there's nothing in the pipeline about Sunday laws. I mean, that's what always amazed me about lukewarm Christians. Why even claim to be Christian if you're not serious about it? In today's world, people place more stock in following after a certain sports team than they do the God they claim to worship. They can recite every statistic of their favorite team that reveals in the violence of the human spirit and other sinful vices, but cannot quote a single Bible verse. They have no light. There's no candlestick involved here. There's no oil. I mean, such as these cannot possibly be considered Christians, let alone used of God to put forth the light of truth that the Holy Spirit indwelled hearts are going to do, because their hearts are dark and empty of the truth. The purpose of the candlestick in the holy place was to give light unto all that entered in. And as Christians, we too must put forth that same light unto all that the Lord sends our way. And yes, I understand completely. You cannot preach to every soul, even especially if you're at work, 9 to 5, right, or school. But you can emulate the gentleness and the meek and lovely Jesus. You can do that unto everybody you meet. Show them a smile when they expect a frown. That moves people in a big way. A lamp that gives no light or that shines with a man-made light like Aaron's sons try to use are of no value unto God. That's not going to spark a true light in any way, shape, or form. It's like some people told me, says, oh, when I listen to David Gates about the end of the world happening or the Sunday laws coming about within 1,260 days, which actually ended on March 7th, 2019. So he's confirmed false prophet, but we knew that. You set dates, you're confirmed false prophet. They go, he moved me to get more serious about my walk. No. Lies don't move you to get more serious about your walk. That lie scared you like the fire insurance spirit of the people in the 1840s when they thought Jesus Christ was coming back on October 22nd, 1844. The overwhelming majority left the movement on the 23rd because they were in it for fire insurance. They were scared. How does that, but and so David Gates, now they're saying, oh, well, at the end of April 22nd or at the end of April, because he says sometime in March or April. Well, it's May 18th. And now you know what they're saying? Oh, let's give them all the way to June 21st because that's the end of spring. it's still going to happen. He's still going to be a false prophet on June 22nd. But that strange fire can't spark a light of truth. So they can't see it. The natural man cannot see the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. And that is why when the loud cry goes forth, nary a soul still in the apostate churches will be used of God to prevent it. Not one. That's what that video was about, and it upset a few people. I mean, to do so would be to declare it is okay to mix truth with error, just like the Catholic Church does. And so God would be guilty of sin in how he caused Aaron's sons to die. Well, if it's okay for us to mix truth with error, like David Gates or any of these other SDA leaders, well, then we got to ask the Lord, why did you kill Aaron's boys? You know, because, you know, that strange fire, that was pretty obvious. No, this God we worship doesn't change. These preachers do. Our God did know sin. They that burned sinned, just as they that refused to leave the apostate churches are going to be doing soon. And whenever they speak of their faith to others, they are offering the same strange fire. Because again, pure truth cannot be presented from the lips of those that touch unclean things daily. That's how you define Babylon, to mix truth with error. As we know, and I'll close with this. I know I went over a few minutes, but that's because we started a little late. So 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 says this. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I mean, how many times have we seen that one? And this is why Aaron's sons didn't just snuff out the light of the candle. No, Satan knows the people of God expect light to kind of lost track of my notes here, but Satan knows that the people of God are going to expect light to proceed from the candlestick. And so they didn't just go in there and snuff out a light. Satan moved them rather to bring in a strange, you know, a fake light, as we see so clearly in all the churches, including the SDA church of today. You know, because the SDA church ended being a Christian church in 1888. Now, I'm not saying the SDA people, just like the Catholics, I'm not saying the Catholics are all going to hell in a handbasket any more than I would the SDAs. Their leaders, though, if they don't repent, yeah, they don't look like they're in good shape at all. Neither are anybody that sits in their pews, but at least the ones in the pews might heed the warning when their leaders are exposed. You don't expose the people. They're just being loyal. And lazy sometimes because they won't open up their own Bibles. You know, there's a very small amount of Berean spirits in these churches. You know, they don't check the Bible to see if those things are so. But they claim to be Christians, you know, like with this fake light that they put out there. They claim to be Christians. But how on earth can they be Christians when instead of warning the homosexual that their lifestyle is an abomination that will lead them to hellfire, they declare them to be God-fearing brethren and accepted into the church on good standing when the government holding their 501c3 contract demands they do so if they want to keep receiving their tax-free benefits. And did you see the law that you just passed the other day? It's called earth-shattering or world-shaking in regards to all these extra rights they're giving homosexuals. And that's why the SDA leaders are clamming up. They don't have the courage to stand up there and do it. Oh, you keep talking like that, they're going to knock you offline. They're going to knock me offline regardless. You know, I'm not going to stop preaching truth just because you guys got muscles. It's not going to happen. They fear, and they all fear the second beast of Revelation, which is the United States American government, which those in the remnant church, you know, expose. They fear this beast far more than the God that declared the homosexual lifestyle worthy of damnation. It's right there in the Bible. Oh, now the Bible's hate speech. Well, like that wasn't expected. We're in the last days, very last days. They love the money far more than the precious souls that are crying out for help. And so when the Lord sends someone who's, you know, having issues with homosexuality or alcoholism or whatever, they bring them and says, oh, come as you are, which is true. But they don't tell them to change their ways. Or what of the Muslim who has no idea the Quran was written by Rome and designed on the backbone of Roman politics so as to bring about universal control? Again, the 501c3 contracts demands that they declare them worthy of embrace and even declare Allah to be the same as the God of heaven for the ecumenical push of Rome, and it's nothing more than a demon. Allah, you know, it's a statue, actually, in that big, what is that thing called, Mecca? There's a statue in there that's actually Muslim, but Jack Chick brought that out when that one Jesuit priest did that write-up called The Prophet. That's why they murdered him, because of the evidence that he proved showed that the Vatican wrote the Quran. And so where is their love for their fellow men? The Muslims need the truth as much as a homosexual does, or a drunk, or an atheist. Where's their love? Not only do they show no love, there's no light coming. They're not warning the Muslims. They're not warning the homosexuals. They tell them, come on in. You know, they promoted Proposition 8 or something like that. That's that one thing about Loma Linda declaring on camera homosexuality is okay. They show no love to the hundreds of thousands of Christians that they kill every year by ignoring the fact that the Muslims are doing it for Rome. You know, like Rome or even the Pharisees of old, the SDA leaders only have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And so, from such, we must turn away, you know, 2 Timothy 3:5 predicted. So, ending doing service unto your fellow man by sharing your faith as the pure light from the candlestick is the only reason for the existence of a church. Unless the people of God shine forth in truth, the world is left in utter darkness, and Satan knows it. That's what he's going for here. That's why he's trying to use fear factor. Oh, don't talk about the homosexuals. They'll knock you offline, or you'll lose your job, or whatever. Yeah, well, you know, how many people got killed for their faith? I think, you know, some people that are embracing the truth are going to have no problem losing a job, especially when you got brothers and sisters in the faith that'll help you when you lose that job. And so, just as he, Satan, moved Aaron's sons to use strange fire, he has moved the General Conference leaders and every single solitary 501c3 pastor out there to do the same thing in our day, just as prophecy predicted they would. And I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared. This Sabbath day, I'll be back in a minute.